Welcome to Results Driven with Kurt High from High Value Consulting. Planning for your financial future means navigating challenges like market volatility, inflation, and retirement income. Results Driven is here to help by addressing common financial concerns, sharing valuable strategies, and exploring ways you can work toward your financial goals. Now let's get started with Results Driven.
Hello and welcome to Results Driven. My name is Kurt J. High from High Value Consulting. If you'd like more information about what you hear today during our show, give us a call at 484-431-2874. Or you can visit us online at our newly updated website. And while at the website, click on the radio show to check out past shows and or to subscribe to our program on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Amazon Music. You know, there's one number that retirees watch closely every fall. And no, it's not their fantasy football scores. It's the Social Security Cost of Living Adjustment, or commonly known as COLA. The Social Security Administration, or SSA, recently announced that the 2026 COLA is coming in at 2.8%. That's a modest increase, but it still means a little more breathing room for millions of retirees. A recent Kiplinger article titled 2026 Social Security COLA is 2.8%, What You Need to Know, notes that according to the SSA, 2.8% may translate to about approximately $56 per month for the average retiree, bringing the average benefit to roughly $2,071. For married couples receiving benefits, the increase could be closer to $88 a month, raising the typical total to $3,208. It's not a dramatic jump, but in this environment, even small adjustments may help offset rising prices. Interestingly, this announcement was delayed a bit this year because of our wonderful recent government shutdown. Some Bureau of Labor Statistics employees were temporarily brought back just to finalize the Consumer Index report, which is the data used to calculate COLA. So while the news came a little later than usual, retirees can now plan around the new number for next year. So before we get started, let me introduce you to my co-host, who swears their coffee budget could use a cost of living adjustment as well. Good morning, Jacqueline. How are you?
Well, good morning, Kurt. And you are not wrong. I mean, my caffeine costs have definitely outpaced this inflation, but that's why the COLA update is such an important one for retirees who are watching every dollar from their coffee every day or energy drinks or what I'm drinking right now, a Celsius, you know, whatever floats their boat, right? And so, Kurt, how are you? How was your last weekend?
The weekend was great, very productive. And then got a little seriously. Sunday, we took a serious day of R&R and just kind of kicked back, reset, recharged, and we're all ready to go for Monday. It's excellent. So
Yes. And the sweatpants, sweatshirts, you know, you said rainy there, and that's just how I would want to spend a rainy Sunday, right? Just prep.
Absolutely. So let's keep discussing the Kiplinger article I referenced at the top of the show. When we look at the 2.8% cost of living adjustment in context, it actually lines up pretty closely with what we've seen over the long term. During the past 20 years, Social Security's COLA has averaged about 2.6%. So yes, 2.8 is modest, but it isn't unusual. Current inflation is sitting around 3%. And projections for next year are a bit lower than that, and that's great news. So this increase may help retirees mostly keep up the day-to-day cost increases. And I'll say modest mostly because for some people, it may feel like enough.
Yeah. And so, Kurt, can you explain that a little bit more? I mean, why is that? Why do people think that it might not feel like enough?
Because retirees often spend more in areas like healthcare, housing, and prescriptions. And those things may go up faster than overall inflation. So even if the COLA math says 2.8% is reasonable, someone who's seeing their out-of-pocket medical costs jump might still feel like they're falling behind. And you can really see how wide the swings have been. We've had years like 2016, when the cola was literally 0% because prices were actually moving down in some areas. Then just a few years later, in 2023, when inflation spiked after COVID, disrupted the supply system, the cola shot all the way up to 8.7%. That was one of the biggest jumps in recent years. Since then, we've seen it cool off, 3.2% in 2024, 2.5% in 2025, and now 2.8% for 2026. So what we're seeing is now is more of a return to normal, if you will.
Okay. I mean, that's really interesting, Kurt, because I think a lot of people still remember that huge 8.7% jump from just a couple of years ago and kind of hope for something like that every year. But what you're saying in this is a number closer to 2% or 3% is actually typical, and it may be a sign that inflation is calming down, not heating up.
Absolutely. A cola of 8.7% usually means the economy is under a lot of stress. A cola of 2 to 3% may not feel exciting, but it can mean prices are stabilizing, which can make it a lot easier to budget.
Absolutely. And so, Kurt, we're talking about inflation and how that goes into it. But what I'm really trying to understand is how does the Social Security Administration actually come up with the COLA number every year?
That's a great question. It's just not a guess. It's based on a formula tied to inflation. Specifically, the government uses something called the Consumer Price Index for urban wage earners and clerical workers, or CPI-W, which is their acronym. Now, that wasn't always the case. When Social Security first started, Congress had to pass a new law each time and every year they wanted to raise benefits. But in the 70s, inflation was running so high that people's fixed incomes were losing value so fast. So in 1972, Congress passed an amendment to make those adjustments automatic. And in the first automatic COLA went into effect in 1975. Today, the Social Security Administration looks at inflation specifically in the months of July, August, and September, and then compares the average prices during these months to the same 3 months from the previous year. The percentage change between the two averages becomes COLA for the next year.
Wow. So it really is a direct reflection of what's happening with inflation in those specific 3 months, not the entire year.
Precisely. It's a snapshot that may not capture all the ups and downs in prices over the full year, but it gives a good benchmark for how cost of living is trending. There have also been proposals to base the COLA on different inflation measure called CPI-E, which focuses on Americans age 62 or older. Supporters say it might be better reflect the expenses retirees faced, especially since it puts more weight on healthcare expenses. But so far, these proposals haven't gone anywhere.
Okay, and here we go with another acronym, right, Kurt? I mean, CPIE, which only focuses, you know, on the Americans age 62 and older. And that makes sense. But because Social Security benefits aren't just for retirees, right?
That's right. COLA also applies to disability, survivor benefits, not just retirement checks. So while a retiree-focused index could help some groups, it might not fare so well or effective across all the people who rely on Social Security.
Absolutely. And Kurt, that's great information. Whenever we do a show on Social Security, I'm reminded all over again just how many layers the program truly has.
Absolutely. Now, here's something a lot of people don't realize until they're already receiving benefits. If you're collecting Social Security and you're still working, your earnings may temporarily reduce your monthly benefit. It's called the earnings test, and it applies to people who start claiming benefits before reaching full retirement age. For 2026, the Social Security Administration will withhold $1 in benefits for every $2 you earn above the $24,480 per year, and that's about $2,040 a month. So if someone keeps working part-time or takes on a consulting job and earns more than that, their benefits could be adjusted downward temporarily.
Yes. And this is a tongue twister, but the key word here is temporarily, right? I mean, how many times can we say that and flip up on the word? But Kurt, because, I mean, this is because those withheld benefits aren't really lost, right?
That's right. Once you reach full retirement age, Social Security recalculates your benefit amount, credits back the months when payments were withheld over time. So you may recover much of that, which you didn't receive earlier. So it's more of a timing issue than a penalty. And in the year when someone reaches full retirement age, the test becomes more lenient. In 2026, the SSA will withhold $1 for every $3 earned above the $65,160 threshold, or about approximately $5,430 per month. So if someone's planning to keep working a bit more while easing into retirement, it may make sense to understand where they stand relative to these thresholds.
Absolutely. And I know that that can get confusing, but that's good to know, because this is especially important for people who like staying active in the workforce, but want to start tapping into their benefits early. It sounds like careful timing and strategizing could make a real difference in how much income that they see month to month, which is why it's so important to talk with a financial advisor and a financial professional to go over this plan, because it's a balancing act for sure.
Yeah, a little foresight, good understanding of how these rules work may help you avoid surprises, keep your retirement income strategy running smoothly.
Absolutely. So, Kurt, what else should listeners know about the Social Security changes within this new year?
The taxable wage gap is another important Social Security update for 2026 that affects people who are still working. This is the max amount of benefit that's subject to Social Security taxes, and also the amount used to calculate your future benefits. So for 2026, the cap is increasing to $184,500, which is approximately $8,400 per month, from the $176,100 limit in 2025. In other words, any income that you earn above $184,500 next year won't be taxed for Social Security purposes, and it will also won't increase the benefit you eventually receive.
Okay, so that cap moves up almost every year then, right?
Yes, it's indexed to inflation. So as overall prices and wages rise, that ceiling adjusts upward too. It's gone from $168,600 in 2024 to $176,125. And now $184,500 in 2026. You can safely anticipate it may climb again in 2027 if inflation continues to be at a similar pace.
So for people who earn above that limit, their take-home pay might see a small bump once they hit that cap, but it doesn't translate to higher Social Security benefits down the road.
You got it. While it's one of those lesser-known details, understanding how the wage cap works may help you set expectations for both your paycheck and your eventual retirement benefit. Here's another key number to keep in mind for 2026. How much you need to earn to qualify for Social Security work credits. These credits are what determine whether you're eligible for retirement benefits down the road. To qualify, you need to at least have 40 credits over your working lifetime. And you can earn up to 4 credits per year. Without enough credits, the Social Security Administration simply can't pay you retirement benefits.
So, Kurt, what are the details for those credits in 2026? Can we go into further depth with that?
Sure. Jacqueline, for 2026, we'll earn 1 credit for every $1,890 of wages or self-employment income. That means you need to earn $7,560 during the year to get the maximum of 4 credits. By comparison, in 2025, it took $1,810 to earn a credit, or about $80 less. So you can see how the threshold rises each year with inflation.
Yeah, well, these are a lot of numbers to try to keep straight. And so, for you know, those credits really serve as your ticket into the Social Security system, not just for retirement, but for things like disability or survivor benefits, too.
That's right. The number of credits you've earned may also determine eligibility for disability benefits, Medicare, or even survivor benefits for your family. It's one of those behind-the-scenes factors that quietly builds over your career, but it can make a big difference when it's time to claim the benefits later on in life.
Absolutely. So, Kurt, before we keep going with today's conversation, can you please let our listeners know how they can schedule a complimentary consultation with you to ask questions or to help building or adjusting their financial strategy so that they can stay on course toward their ideal retirement?
Absolutely. You can call my office at 484-431-2874. Or you can reach out at my new website, updated website, at highvalueconsulting.org for a complimentary consultation, for a financial review, or even to look into doing a comprehensive financial plan that will give you the information to make the right intelligent decisions regarding your Social Security and your retirement benefits.
Absolutely. Creating a strategy is what's important. And so thank you, Kurt. Now, let's just jump back into today's topic about Social Security and the new COLA numbers.
When you choose to begin claiming benefits as one of the biggest factors that you can affect how much you receive from Social Security, timing can make a big difference. If you wait to start collecting until age 70, your monthly benefit can increase significantly. Social Security adds roughly 2/3 of 1% for each month you delay after your full retirement age. And that's about 8% more per year. So if you wait till age 70, your benefit could be around 28% higher than it would have been if you started right at your full retirement age.
And that's a big difference, Kurt. But the reverse is also true. I mean, claiming too early may mean locking in a lower benefit for life.
That's a fantastic point, Jacqueline. For those born in 1960 or later, claiming at age 60 may reduce your benefit for about 30% compared with waiting until full retirement age. And spousal benefits can be reduced even more, up to 35% if claimed early. Remember, a spouse's maximum benefit is 50% of the worker's full retirement amount. So that reduction applies on top of that 50%. That's why some people look at what they call Social Security bridge strategy, which is using savings and or investments, such like your IRA or 401k, to cover expenses for a few years so that you can delay claiming benefits. Doing that may allow your Social Security benefit income to grow to its full potential before starting to draw it.
Well, that makes a lot of sense, Kurt, because it's about balancing your income sources so you're not forced to claim too early and give up that extra growth. Yet again, we're talking about a balancing act.
Yeah, everyone's situation is different. None are going to be the same. But for those who have other retirement assets to lean on, waiting to claim may help boost the guaranteed income stream for the rest of their life.
Well, Kurt, we've talked a lot about Social Security lately, the new COLA, the wage cap, how benefits are calculated, but let's dig into something just as important, how working with a financial services professional and financial advisor can make such a big difference. Because a lot of people think Social Security is what it is. I'll just take it when I take it.
That's true. And one of the biggest misconceptions out there, Social Security may feel automatic, but there are many choices that can affect how much you receive over your lifetime. Things like when you file, how long you've worked, whether you coordinate benefits with a spouse, or even how you manage your other income sources can change the outcome. Working with a financial service professional helps you see through the moving parts as one big picture, not as separate decisions. So that's why I always recommend working with a financial service professional, and also implementing a comprehensive financial plan.
Yeah, and because it's not just about when do I start my benefit, it's how that decision fits into your entire retirement strategy and individual personal plan.
Yeah, so for example, one of the first things I do with clients is to run several Social Security claiming scenarios, We look at what happens if they claim at 62 at their full retirement age, or if they can wait until 70. And I can show them in real dollars how much each option may add or subtract from their monthly income. And importantly, how long it might take to break even. That context helps people make confident, informed decisions instead of guessing. Again, doing and implementing comprehensive financial planning can make all the difference in your retirement lifestyle and income.
Absolutely. And that's so helpful, Kurt, because it's not a one size fits all. For some, waiting might make sense. For others, there's a reason maybe to claim earlier, especially if their health or other financial needs come into play. And Kurt, I know that you have many resources that you use in your office regarding, you know, the age that you possibly will live to and, you know, other things that will help you work with them to create a comprehensive plan regarding this entire full retirement strategy.
Indeed, there's no universal best age. A financial service professional looks at the full picture: your health, your work plans, your spouse's situation, your savings, and even your tax bracket. Sometimes it makes sense to claim earlier, while in other cases, waiting may provide a much higher long-term benefit. And that's where strategy comes into play, because it can help you balance your Social Security with other income sources to create a sustainable retirement strategy.
So you're helping people coordinate how they use their different buckets of income, Kurt, like savings, investments, and retirement accounts to support their lifestyle while still letting their Social Security benefit grow.
Yeah, I like to think of it as building a retirement income bridge. For example, someone might use withdrawals from like their 401k or IRA for a few years to cover expenses while delaying their Social Security claim. That approach will allow their Social Security benefits to grow by roughly 8% a year between full retirement age and age 70, and that's a big jump. And because these withdrawals are planned strategically, we can often manage taxes more efficiently at the same time.
How taxes tie into Social Security strategy is an angle that people might not realize.
I think that's right. Up to 85% of your Social Security benefit may be taxable, depending on your total income. Again, a financial service professional can help structure withdrawals from different accounts, blending taxable, tax-deferred, and Roth assets to help you stay in a lower tax bracket or minimum taxation of benefits. It's all about coordination. Social Security doesn't exist in a vacuum. It's one piece of the larger retirement puzzle.
I like that. And Kurt, I can only imagine that you also help people project what their expenses might look like, because retirement isn't just about income. It's about making sure that income matches what you want your retirement lifestyle to be.
Absolutely. One of the favorite parts of the job is talking about lifestyle goals, not just numbers. Some people want to travel. Some want to downsize. Some want to help with grandkids' college funds. Once you know these goals and objectives, we can estimate what kind of lifestyle may cost and build a strategy that balances guaranteed income, like Social Security, with a flexible income from investments. That's where we can help align the emotional side of retirement with the financial realities.
That's a great way to put it, Kurt, because so many people think preparing for retirement is just spreadsheets and charts. But it's about designing the life that you want to live. And personally, I wouldn't mind, you know, giving grandkids or kids some funds, or maybe wanting to downsize or travel and move. I mean, you even talk about, Kurt, like the beach and Florida and the nice weather. And sometimes that's what, you know, we want to prioritize.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, Social Security is the foundation for most Americans' retirement income, but it's not the whole house. A financial service professional will help you design the rest of the structure, how your investments, savings, and insurance all work together so they can stay confident no matter what the markets do or how long you live. And again, getting a picture or a handle on exactly what the client projects their retirement to look like, and if they can define it, they can actually share it with me, and describe it makes a big difference. And whether it's reality or just a wish. So, yeah.
Yeah. And you're absolutely right. And Kurt, you help your clients discover that as well, right? I mean, some clients may come to you and say that they don't really have a plan. They don't really know what the options are. And so, Kurt, you work directly with the clients to go over what possibilities there could be and to go over, you know, maybe you want to prioritize this, but you don't personally know that. You know, you can't put your finger on it. And so, Kurt, how do you do that? I mean, do you sit down with your clients? Do you have resources that you use to do that? How do you do that with your clients?
Well, again, what we do is during the initial consultation is just finding out what their goals and objectives are, what's really important to them. And I ask them very pointed questions on, can you define what retirement looks like and exactly what do you think it looks like? I mean, let's find out. And that way we can actually determine, again, what kind of numbers need to support or supplement that kind of retirement. Yeah.
Yeah. And absolutely. And also what, you know, income you are having now. And there's just so many things to put into perspective here. And I know for some listeners listening to this episode, Kurt, this may sound like something that we can just read about online or plug into an online calculator or, for goodness sakes, use, you know, the AI resources. But what you're describing sounds much more personalized. I mean, we are adding a whole different dimension and emotion into this equation that sometimes online and especially AI, they can't really supplement for that.
That's correct. Again, the personal relationship I develop with clients makes a significant difference in actually defining the client's goals and objectives and helping them understand how they can and cannot achieve these goals. And then we find out what is realistic and what's not. Online calculators are great for quick estimates, but they don't know your health history, your goals, or how you can actually spend money. Again, getting back to having a financial services professional who takes ownership in the goals and objectives of the client can run some numbers through a retirement income model or comprehensive financial planning software, then adjust for personal situations with things like inflation, medical costs, or even part-time work or some kind of hobby that you want to turn into income. We can also stress test your strategy, what happens if inflation runs higher, or if one spouse claims early and the other waits. The level of insight may help you make smarter, more informed, and more resilient decisions.
Absolutely. And there's just so much to put into this equation, Kurt. But we've had an excellent show so far today, and we are just about running out of time. So, Kurt, would you like to add anything else before we wrap things up?
Yes. Again, if you have any questions, please reach out to my office, 484-431-2874, or reach out to my newly updated website, highvalueconsulting.org, for a complimentary consultation. I'm very open to listening to what's important to clients. And again, running a comprehensive financial plan provides you with all the information to make the right intelligent decisions about your financial future.
Absolutely. Protect your savings and feel confident about your road ahead. So thank you, listeners, for joining us today on another episode of Results Driven with our host, Kurt High.
Thank you for joining us for Results Driven. Don't head into retirement without a plan for both your finances and your health. For more information, contact Kurt High at High Value Consulting at 484-431-2874 or visit highvalueconsulting.org. Join us again soon for another episode of Results Driven.
Investment advisory services are offered through Virtue Capital Management, an SEC registered investment advisor. High Value Consulting and VCM are independent of each other.
All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent.